Talking about young adult literature is not for the faint of heart. There's fashion atrocities, queer subtext, problematic love interests, and that's just for a start. But never fear, cause Carrie and Marie are here, and this is Go Your Own YA.
Readers and listeners, welcome back to Go Your Own YA Season 2. I'm Marie.
And I'm Carrie. There we go. I'm adjusting my audio as I talk. Now I'm loud. Okay, now this is fine. It's been a long time, readers and listeners.
Carrie gave birth to a book. I got a new job. Life happened, but we're back.
We're back. And Marie, what book are we talking about today?
We are talking about one of my favorites. I had to look up what order their names are in.
Not alphabetical order. Because that would be too easy.
So the thing about books is, like, when I get to know them really well, I won't even think of them by their name. I just think of, like, what the cover looks like.
Yes.
And the color and the design. I'm like, oh, yeah, Pamela Dean, purpley, psychedelic cover with the cool font on it.
And a house. Do you have one with a house?
That's the one you have. I have the first run paperback because I'm
special.
But the title of this book, so we stop driving all the booksellers and librarians in the audience crazy.
Do you have that one that's blue?
I literally went to Blue Stocking once and said, can you help me find the red biography that just came out? And they did
it. I bet they did, yeah. When I was a bookseller, I prided myself on being able to do that.
I can do it within certain genres.
Right.
But our title is Juniper, Gentian, and Rosemary by Pamela Dean. And Carrie, it's your turn to describe it, especially since you were brand new to it.
It's a Pamela Dean book. There's like 300. I mean, if you have read Pamela Dean, you know what this book is, even if you haven't read this one. There's like 300 pages of people saying very smart things and quoting Shakespeare. And then there's about 5 pages where there's some action, and then it's the end.
Yay!
And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I like Pamela Dean for that. I like hanging out with her characters. And that is the main requirement for enjoying a Pamela Dean book.
I was trying to think of, like, who I would hand sell this book to. And it hit me when I was on my yearly reread of the oeuvre of Louisa May Alcott. If you, like, genuinely love Little Women and all the minutiae of their daily lives.
Yes.
This is your book. Because this is the minutiae of the daily lives of intelligent young women in the early 90s.
And as someone who was, well, fancied herself intelligent, my grades and, you know, history will have to judge. In the early 90s, like, this was a lot of fun to read and to revisit that time in my life.
I was in third grade when this book took place because it's textually set in 1993, even though I think parts of it were written earlier,
yes,
going by the technology and the internet stuff. And it's it's pre-internet, mm-hmm, stuff, which is pretty amazing to read about.
Well, it came out of a short story that Pamela Dean wrote, correct?
Yes, it did, which is why all the plot is in the last 20 pages.
So how did you find this book the first time?
Early Google Books. Ah. I searched for Weetzibat.
Oh, that's right.
It's mentioned in the text. I think it also there were trains.
Oh my God. Yes, they were. That train was literally going like chugga, chugga, chugga. That was pretty great.
Yeah, I know. It's things I find incredibly endearing, you know, when I'm not smushed in the middle of one.
No kidding.
Yeah, no. Commute's been rough lately. MTA is having some teething troubles.
Oh, man.
I know. It's still one of the best. I mean, actually, I have to say, I think the L is the best train line I've been on so far. Do they call it the L?
Yes, you can call it okay. The L.
The only thing is that not enough of it goes all night.
That is very true. As I've gotten older, that has become less of an issue because I often don't want to be out past, you know, bedtime, which creeps ever closer to, like, dinner time. And, oh, it's fun getting old.
The older I get, the more I act like the actual characters in these stories, which is funny because I, as a teenager, my friends and I acted a lot like Junie and, well, not so much Junie because she's the older sister, like Gentian and her friends.
Yes. That does not surprise me, especially like after our Pigman episode and we talked about you and your friends on Staten Island. I can see you becoming, what are they, the giant ants?
We were essentially the giant ants, although we did have a token boy. And, this is going to be an episode for Terrible Boys, by the way.
Oh, man. Yeah, Terrible Boys. Terrible boy, mostly.
Yes, because this is based on an olden time ballad about a terrible man who is the devil.
And I knew parts of this ballad. I knew the part with the questions and the answers. I don't think I knew that, oh, by the way, these questions are being posed by the devil.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't make it into my elementary school music textbook.
Oh my gosh, all these trains. Where were you when I was trying to leave Bryant Park?
Oh, they miss you. They miss interrupting our podcast.
Oh, I miss them too. Because my apartment is on the other side of the building and I'm also two floors up, so I don't hear them. I get to hear all the wonderful street noise.
Oh, that is fun. That is one thing that I don't miss about where we were living before. Like, the bar noise and the post-concert noise. Just shut up and go home, people. Stay home and chat on BBSs and read Shakespeare with your family the way normal people do.
So our main character, Gentian, is the middle of three sisters. She goes to I want to call it an open school, but I think you would probably have a more specific term for what kind of an education it is.
Yeah, like, I'm not sure if I have a good term for it. I was considering it kind of open school / hippie school, progressive school, perhaps. Because there's no specific, like, curriculum that they're really following, so I can't point to that as the name of, like, their educational philosophy. It's basically, like, open school, come on in, like, learn what you want to learn.
Yeah, and it's, at the same time, it's also, it seems to be very academically rigorous. It's just, yes, that the students have a lot of a hand in their education, which I think is wonderful. I think that's actually a really good balance. If I had a kid or if I had a cat that went to school, I would probably send them to a school like this. It seems like a good one, and Gentian really appreciates it, which is nice.
I know. I really wished, reading this, that I had gone to that kind of school, and this is me doing a verbal post-it note. One of these days we really need to do an episode on the Teenage Liberation Handbook.
Yes, we do. 100% absolutely.
Yes.
Because I read that when I was a junior. And yeah, that's definitely shaped a lot of my educational philosophy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that this book had shown up on some unschooling related reading kind of like reading lists, and that's how it ended up on my radar initially. And then like I was searching for like any and all mentions of Francesca Leigh Bloch or Weetzie Bat in Google Books, and that one had come up, so I ordered a copy and I ended up really, really enjoying it.
Nice. I had been trying to think if I could come up with any other books about kids who are being like unschooled or something similar to that while I was reading this one. And I couldn't, and I know I'm missing some obvious ones.
The Homeschool Liberation League.
I have never read that.
It's a middle grade from...
Sounds like it.
Yeah. Well within our parameters, so maybe we should cover it.
I can dig it.
And there's also... Oh, there was that award winner that has, like, the former unschooler. Ida B. Something. It's got the apple on the cover. I can see it. It was all over the year that I started grad school.
Oh, man. I'm trying to remember. That sounds familiar.
Readers and listeners, if I can't figure it out by the time I put this episode up, please let us know.
One of you will know. You're smart.
There's Surviving the Apple Whites.
Yes.
What else? I feel like there's so many more than I can think of at the moment.
Exactly.
Because
yeah,
I never, like, of course, like, the educational part of this book is important, but I always kind of frame it as the friendship book in my head, and I sort of classify it with all the books about cool groups of friends and also figuring out who you are among your friend group, and also like the cool bohemian intellectual family grouping, which I have a read alike, and I'm wondering if you picked the same one, which is why I have a backup. I know I've been doing that a lot lately, but I feel like we are sometimes of a very like mind.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So I'm glad that you have a backup. It's interesting, you know, as an educator, as I often say, like, you know, that kind of stuff is really interesting to me. And I think maybe as a teen or preteen reading this book, I would have been more drawn to the friendship drama, because it is a really interesting portrait of the way friendships change as you enter adolescence, even like your closest friendships that you've had your whole life. And these kids being Pamela Dean heroines, they're like super self-aware about it. There's a lot of, oh, puberty, that I don't think I would expect from a typical young teenager. Like, oh, it's puberty doing this to us.
But it's, the first time I read it, I think I was a sophomore in college. So I was like just old enough to kind of look back and laugh at it.
Mm-hmm.
And also sort of appreciate it for, you know, that intimate portrait of friendship when, you know, college was a pretty lonely time for me.
Yeah.
My core group of friends had scattered to the four winds and I only saw them at break time. So it, you know. I did a lot of fan art. I'm going to see if I can dig any of it up by the time we get this episode up.
Oh my god. Did you post any of it to LiveJournal? Would I have seen any of it before?
You may have.
Nice.
It was of the sleepover.
Oh, wow.
We say the sleepover because... it being a Pamela Dean novel, mundane events are given really epic tellings. And I have kind of tongue-in-cheek called this a NaNoWriMo novel before the advent of NaNoWriMo. Because when you're trying to bang out 1,600 words a night, this is the kind of stuff you write.
Oh, and dude, I say that yes.
With deep affection for yes. it. And, you know... But the thing is that every book has its reader and every reader has their book. And this is my book. I like reading 1,600 words about a sleepover between two smart girls.
Yeah, I like reading things where not much happens, as long as I care about the characters. And I love spending time with these girls. It's the same way I feel about Tam Lin. Of course I want to know what Janet's course schedule looks like. I care about Janet. I want to know what she's taking. Maybe she's taking some of the classes I took. You know, maybe she's taking something I wish I took.
I used to know somebody who graduated from Carleton, and one of their notable classmates used to ride an imaginary horse to class.
Yeah, I knew some Carls. Actually, it was Carls who recommended the book to me. And no spoilers, but I'll just say I didn't think there was anything off about any of the characters in the book because that's just how Carls talked. It took me literally until, you know, the last 15 pages to get what was up.
Yeah, like, I didn't see anything off about the core friend group, and they're called Them and the Giant Ants because, oh my god, it's Them, which I love because that's such a nerd girl thing. And it's wonderful to have a novel about unabashedly nerd girls, even if sometimes it is maybe a little abashedly because they're teenagers. They're figuring out their place in the world. Like, this is the kind of stuff my friends and I got up to. So, yes, real teenagers do talk and act like this sometimes. You know, some of my friends went to the same private school I went to. Some of them went to LaGuardia. Some of them went to, like, other high schools on Staten Island or in Manhattan or Brooklyn. And, yeah, like, we went to see dramatizations of Shakespeare's plays for fun. Like, Romeo and Juliet by Baz Luhrmann came out when we were going into high school. Although Gentian, who is like an anti-romantic and a curmudgeon, which is part of which makes her so delightful, hates the Zeffirelli version and calls it goopy. And one of the other things that I like about this is that for a book, you know, written and published in 1998, probably written a lot earlier, it's set in the Midwest among, you know, fairly, probably affluent families, it's nicely diverse. We have some POC in the book. One of her best friends is Black. One of the members of the Giant Ants is very clearly gender fluid or gender queer, but doesn't have the words for it because it's 1993.
Right. Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. Tam Lin, I think, was like super duper white, which was not surprising. That's the only other Dean I've read. So it was cool reading about this diverse group of friends while, you know, it never became like a Babysitter's Club. Here's our United Nations of friends. And this is the Asian one and this is the Black one. And like, this is the one who has diabetes sort of thing. It felt very organic.
As much as we love the BSC.
Yes.
the scholastic lawyers were, you know, making sure they hit those notes.
Hit all the boxes.
The Leviathan had to check them off a list. He probably did. Oh my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Have you listened to Babysitter's Club yet? Y'all really should.
Yeah. And listen to the Sweet Sweet Valley Boys pilot episode. Because that was amazing. And it prompted me to go and listen to the Double Love podcast, which is two brilliant Irish women talking about the Sweet Valley books. And one of them I knew on chiclet.com. So it's like, oh my God, that's Anna Carey. Which also I always loved because our names are so similar. Like, I always felt like a kinship with her, although she is like super cool and too cool for me. And Double Love is hilarious. I am, all of Sweet Valley lore is rushing back to me. And I am just shocked still that like my mom and my grandma would buy those books for me. Why did they think that was okay? And then like turn around and keep me from watching like Blossom which somebody else brought up word for word on the BSC, the BSCC page. But it's true. Like, and why wasn't I reading, like, you know, appropriate books like this one?
Oh, I skipped right into VC Andrews, and I'm mad at myself about it.
A lot of people have that trajectory. They go, like, from Babysitter's Club to, or they went, rather, because this is in the past, they went from Babysitter's Club right to VC Andrews, and Clan of the Cave Bear is another one that I hear all the time. And I've never read any of that stuff. So I don't know if I, like, missed out on a formative experience of reading about incest and cave sex or whatever was going on.
The first on-the-page sex I had ever read was rape, so...
Same?
I'm angry about that. And I'm really glad that, you know, YA is so much more open about it nowadays. And that doesn't have to be the case for other people. Because, you know, readers tend to read up and hopefully... people who are about my age, because I was in, you know, sixth grade when I started reading V.C. Andrews, like that they would be reading straight up YA.
Yeah.
And can see something healthier and can see books that reflect themselves.
Right.
And not weird, rich, incestuous people.
Exactly.
Unless you want to read that.
Unless
then,
that
you know,
does reflect your life, in which case I'm sorry, I guess.
I'll just take care of yourself. I think that's the best thing I could say to anybody who is living in a V.C. Andrews novel.
Or a Sweet Valley High novel, for that matter.
Right.
Don't trust anyone who looks like you.
See, I read up, but I read down, and I just could not get into Sweet Valley High. I did love Sweet Valley Twins.
I liked those too. And then, like, the cool girls graduated very quickly from, like, between third and fourth grade to Sweet Valley High. And so I wanted to, like, try and keep up with the cool girls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was misguided. Don't try to keep up with the cool girls.
No, read whatever you want. Reading is the coolest thing of all.
And that's one to grow on.
So, Gentian not only has friends, she has a family.
The sister dynamics are a lot of fun in this one.
Mm-hmm. She's the middle. Juniper is the oldest, and she's super smart and super crabby. And then Rosemary is the youngest, and... she's a little spitfire in the same mold as the youngest song sister.
Yes.
And To All the Boys I Loved Before. If you like that little sister, you'll like this.
I was thinking about Kitty, too. Yeah, she's fun.
And then their parents allow them a lot of freedom and also a lot of support. So, you know, they allowed him to go to a school where basically they can, you know, arrange their own education and have the freedom to pursue it as they will. And even though the girls have chores and they have to, you know, hang out for dinner and do the dishes and help Gentian read.
Julius Caesar.
First. Yes. I was going to say Anthony and Cleopatra, but no, that's what I had to read in college about the same time I was reading this. Oh my gosh, that poor professor put up with so much. No, he was great. He was Professor Locke was a wonderful Shakespeare professor. We just did the Jacobean plays, which were the less fun Shakespeare for me.
Same.
I like his comedies, and I like Romeo and Juliet because it's full of, you know, off-color jokes.
Exactly.
My favorite is A Midsummer Night's Dream, not surprisingly.
Oh my god, that's perfect.
I was telling Sarah about how she has to see Labyrinth, and the thing is she really hates David Bowie for what he has done. But I'm like,
yeah,
he's the villain in this. It's okay to watch it because he's the villain doing the villainous things he did in real life, and he's defeated. So even if you hate David Bowie for the things he's done, and that's 100% legitimate, it's okay to watch this movie because he's dead and he's defeated. It's a classic fairy tale.
Yep.
She defeats the old creepy man.
And isn't that what we all want to do?
Right. So this book doesn't have an old creepy man. This one has a young creepy man.
Or is he a young creepy man?
Is he a man?
He's creepy.
Or is he a muppet of a man?
He's a manly, manly muppet.
Why is this so... Okay, now I'm just picturing him as a muppet and it's making this so much better. I love this book. But just picturing Dominic, the villain of this book, the boy who moves in next door and speaks in riddles and asks the sisters to help him build a time machine.
He doesn't even really ask. I feel like he's just like, hey, build me a time machine.
And they're like, okay.
Okay.
Sure. And then he's like racist at her best friend Alma. Mm-hmm. And he says mean things to the others, except her one friend who was the most normie of the group, who kind of plays him at his own game, which I love. Yeah, Stephanie, who is the most normie of the friends, interacting with Dominic is a scene I really appreciated this time around.
Yeah.
Because she takes what he says at face value, and it you can tell it's infuriating him, and it's great. But Gentian, as any good heroine would have, and as the actual ballad went, like, she has very realistic, confused feelings about him. Like, she hates that he says racist things, and she hates that he says things that try to, like, tear her apart from her friends. But also, she kind of finds him attractive, just like a lot of other young teenage girls do around stupid boys.
Yep. Stupid, mysterious boys. I want to talk about Dominic and his connection to Aaron, because I feel like that is something that is brought up that is very interesting. They seem to have this, like, we have known each other before sort of connection. And I kept waiting for that to pay off, and it doesn't. So what's your headcanon on this? Where's the fanfic that I can read about this book that explores this?
Like, one, y'all should write us some fanfic, because this book is ripe for it.
Yeah.
I want to read more about teenage girls hanging around and doing smart stuff. Because sometimes teenagers just hang around doing smart stuff.
Okay, well, there's nothing on archive of our own for Juniper, Gentian, and Rosemary. So somebody get on that. Is Yuletide still a thing? Can one of y'all, like, request it for Yuletide or write it for Yuletide?
I'll write it for Yuletide.
Hell yeah.
I will write at it. I will cross it over with something. With what something, I'm not sure. I do have a theory about a book that this is related to, but I'll save it for our read-alikes.
Nice.
I think this 100% takes place in the same universe as Tamlin.
Oh, it does. There's a reference to Blackstock, even.
Mm-hmm. I think, the thing is that it's such a unique book, and Dean is such a unique writer, that I can't think of any other books that I would place it in the universe of, except the one I will mention later.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering now if we have the same one.
I think we may.
You know, last time we thought we did, and we totally did not. So
we didn't, and I was so happy to be surprised because it was a book I hadn't heard of.
Yeah.
But I thought of it in particular because of the older sister in this book. And Junie, as an older sister She was very exasperating when I read her as an older teenager, and now I just find her kind of fun because I understand why she's so crabby. Because I am often crabby, like Junie is.
Hey, Junie is about, I know, how old is she 16. In the book? 16. So she is like 1993. I turned 15 at the end of that year. So I can relate to her and to having younger siblings. And I feel like I was very, very crabby at times at that age. My brothers would probably beg to differ and say I was crabby at all times during that age.
And, you know, Gentian, as narrator, you know, it was funny. I was thinking of Louisa May Alcott always having to write in, like, I make no apologies for the behavior of my characters. Not exactly those words. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Gentian, like, she spies on her sister's BBS posts and she reads her diary.
Oh, my God. I mean, like, on a regular basis.
Like, she knows all her hiding spots. And, I mean, that's... Uh-huh. Definitely not, like, behavior I want to encourage in anybody. Let people have their secrets. But also, like, it's a realistic thing for a little sibling to do. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if,
for real, yeah.
My little brother had been reading my diary.
Yeah. I know my brothers did. I'm still bitter, guys. I know you don't listen to this podcast, but I'm still bitter.
For me, it's like, good luck reading my handwriting, but, you know.
Exactly.
It was one of... the benefits of having a brother 6 years younger. That took him so much longer to learn to read cursive.
Yes. Oh.
And the nice thing about the parents is that they kind of let the siblings have their disagreements without being like, you should be nicer to your sister. It's more like, Gentian, stop poking the hedgehog.
Right. I love,
you know, you're gonna get
that.
Stuck.
I love how willing the parents were to, like, let Junie be Junie, to let her, like, have her, like, adolescent anger, to let her have her, like, feelings of being misunderstood. Like, validate that stuff. I wish my, like, teen angst had been validated that way. And, like, my very real feelings of, you know, anger and, like, frustration and sadness, that those had been validated. Junie's lucky.
In some ways, I'm really happy that teenagers have their angst validated nowadays, but I really hate the circumstances under which it is being validated. Because we all have angst nowadays.
Yes.
I was, like, reading this book, it was like, it was such a hopeful time. Like, like, Gentian is worried about a lot of the big picture stuff, but it's not in the way that we are, and it's not in the way that teenagers are nowadays. And for a lot of teenagers, I mean, it was always their reality. If you are at the intersections of certain minorities, et cetera, like, of course, it was always your reality. But there's a... It's just... It's sort of relaxing to go into that, you know, headspace. It's like, okay, Clinton's the president, and the economy is good, and I can major in astronomy and be reasonably assured I'll find a job due to my parents' magical connections. Oops, what did I say? Right, this book has a plot.
It has 15 pages of plot.
And it also has some really excellent holiday celebrations, which is why we are covering it now in December, because there is a wonderful Halloween party and also an excellent New Year's Eve party.
That's true. Yeah, we originally picked this as an October read, and when it became clear that October was not going to happen... And then November was not going to happen. I don't know where those months went. I mean, I know where they went. They went to book and band and not much else over here. And I know for you, they went to new job. But yes, they are really like the lost months of this year.
Did I tell you that my supervisor once removed said that he listened to the first episode of this podcast?
And what was the description?
That we are very dedicated and passionate. Which is supervisor for you guys have no chill.
We never said we did.
Nope. That's our brand. So I'm glad he enjoyed it. I am not brave enough to go back and listen to it, but if he did, more power to him. No, it was a very nice episode. We are just never reading three books in one ever again. No.
Although you could argue that this book was at least three books in one.
Like, is the first part a book, or was it just a very long live journal post? Because that's another thing it reminds me of. Maybe I'm just nostalgic because, you know, we met on LiveJournal, as we so often tell y'all. And I do miss that kind of long form, just the goings about of people's days. Yes. I know that social media has evolved and, you know, it is what it is. But also consider that a lot of it is being shaped by the people who are selling you things and who are controlling how we put it out there, and maybe it's time to get on Dreamlit because that one isn't owned by Russia.
Very true. You know, I was feeling immense nostalgia this past week or so for not even LiveJournal, but pre-LiveJournal, pre-Diaryland, just rambling daily entries in my own journal and my paper journal because I don't do that anymore. Like, I bullet journal, I make posts on social media, I talk to people about what I'm feeling, which I did not do so much when I was a teenager. But I feel like I miss out on something by not paper journaling as much as I used to. And there's something really comforting about going back to old journal entries and seeing the rambling, like, oh, like, I can tell that my brothers are awake. They're still listening to the Joshua Tree in their room, and I can hear the bass line coming into my room, but I'm listening to the radio, and this particular ad is on, and oh, this ad is so stupid, and at band today, like, this is what five different people said to me, and, you know, maybe it's that I don't feel like my minutiae is as interesting as I did when I was 15. And that is definitely part of becoming an adult.
I was so much happier when I did morning pages. Mm. Now that I'm in a much more stable place, I should probably start doing them again.
Yeah. They tend to be really good for me. And this last time I did them, I managed to keep it up for like a year and a half, which is my longest streak yet. And
nice.
Yeah, but, you know, the streak ended as they tend to, and I haven't gotten quite back into the habit yet.
I'm still bullet journaling, which becomes more and less documentation / planning as I use it, which is what the system is good for.
Right. Oh my God. I have to tell you that at my work holiday party, which happened today, somehow it became a Carrie teaches a workshop on bullet journaling.
That's awesome.
It was amazing. And like, I showed everyone my bujo and like explained to them all how to do it and told them about like terms and like dotted journals and Ryder Carroll. And it was like, I'm not sure how this happened, but you know, here I am and you can pay me some money if you want. And I'll teach this workshop for you and your friends.
Yeah. And it's interesting because Gentian herself doesn't really keep a journal besides of her hobby, which we haven't talked about yet, which is very important to her.
Yeah, Gentian is an astronomer. And if you are not an astronomer, you will be lost when you're reading this. And you will question Pamela Dean, there will be a lot of why this? Because there's a lot of descriptions of what Gentian sees in the sky and what is going to happen in the sky at other times and, you know, how the telescope is working. And part of that might be germane to the plot, but most of it is just Pamela Dean letting you know some things that are happening.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how much of it is accurate to 1993. Not enough to actually go research.
Yeah. I wondered the same thing, as I have no memory of what the sky was doing. The sky was not a cute boy. The sky was not, like, going to decide whether or not I passed Algebra 2. So
I saw a UFO in 1993.
Ooh.
We were in the parking lot at the Staten Island Mall, and my mom and I looked up. Nick was a baby, so he was about 2 years old. And we saw it, and my dad insists it was a plane, to which my mom and I said, planes don't rotate. It was like the classic UFO. I'll even sketch a little picture and put it up on our social media somewhere. It had red and green lights.
What?
It rotated. My friend Krista in Brooklyn, we don't know if it was around the same time of year, but we think it might have been the same UFO. Actually, no, we narrowed down the time because it was the fall and it was 1993. Of course, we don't have the dates, but she saw exactly the same UFO. So we're pretty sure it's the same one.
Oh my God, that is amazing.
She saw it with her uncle sitting on the porch at night. I'm like, okay, this is really cool.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that is one of my two awesome sky stories. The other is that there was a Pleiades star shower during one of the A camps I went to. It was the night of the black and white ball. So at the height of the meteor shower, a bunch of various queers in white outfits, you know, wander out into the forest looking for falling stars. It was incredibly poetic.
Oh, I love it.
And then we went inside and danced to Common People.
Nice. Original or Shatner?
Both.
Excellent.
Oh my goodness. That was... Oh my gosh, I also got semi-pre-approved for A-Camp today. Describing that to my boss and my boss once removed was interesting, but they're very enthusiastic.
Nice.
From what they, because I told them it's a summer camp themed women's retreat.
Nice.
Which is very, all of those words are very reductive. Yeah. I apologize to our A-Campers who are not women, but it's more than a, it's more, it's a conversation I didn't want to have with my supervisor yet.
Yeah.
They will probably get it, but I don't want to have it yet.
Exactly. Yeah.
Juniper, Genty, and Rosemary's book we're reading this week.
Well, we have talked for 47 minutes about it and said not much. So now let's have 5 minutes where we shovel the plot in as fast as we can. And also, he was the devil. And also, I am a wizard. And also, she's the queen of fairies. Wait, that's a different book.
That is a different book. Did I ever tell you that I dated a classics major?
Oh my God.
Still, we're still friends, and she still insists she's not fae.
I don't believe it.
But one of her students asked her if she was, and she said, I winked and gave her finger guns. Like, I notice you're not answering that question.
Maybe if I'm weird and awkward, I'll scare them away. That's fabulous.
That was fun. We canoodled on her campus, which is, it was Catholic school in the, you know, in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, are you priests, you know, gonna care? And she's like, no, they're Jesuits.
Yeah.
Yeah, so There is ostensibly a plot, but don't worry about it.
Yeah. Just go in, like, wanting to know these girls. They won't disappoint.
And knowing that the terrible boy will get his comeuppance.
Yes, and thank God for that.
Yeah. And nobody tampers with anybody's birth control. Discussions of sex and sexuality do happen in this book, and the way Gentian approaches it is very interesting because I would call her aromantic. I don't know if it's a word she would use or a word that was used much at that time, but I think that maybe aromantic readers would find something to identify with in her.
I think you're absolutely right. And that's like one of those words that I wish I had known and I wish had been used more often when I was that age in 1993. There were a lot of ways to describe oneself and a lot of ways to identify that we didn't know about. And so a lot of it just turned into feeling wrong or feeling like a misfit or feeling bad. And, you know, I was saying this again at the work lunch today, like there are so many resources now for preteen and teen kids to learn about gender expression, gender identity, about sexuality, about like healthy romantic and sexual relationships, or, you know, what if that isn't even anything that you're interested in? Like, there's so much more literature and so many more resources that have the message, like, you know, as Todd Parr says, it's okay to be different. It's okay to be you. It's okay to eat macaroni and cheese in the bathtub.
This is a shared experience. There's a lot of good eating in this book. I was thinking of that line from Anne of the Island, which is another wonderful book about female friends and independence and education. Even if it does end up, you know, Anne and Gilbert end up, you know, engaged at the end. When her best friend says, you know, of Pickwick Papers, like, that's a book with a lot of good eating and it always makes me hungry. This is a book with a lot of good eating and it always makes me hungry.
What's your favorite meal in the book?
I like when Gentian is packing a cooler full of snacks for her sleepover with Becky, and she's making different kinds of sandwiches, and there's that wonderful line, she steals cookies from her sister and legitimately acquires corn chips from her mom.
I love how much stuff she and Becky pack to go back and forth to each other's houses. It is so true to life, and it is so exactly like how kids pack. The number of backpacks that I look into on any given day is very large. And it's like, what even are these things? Why are they here? Why did you need to bring them to be at school for 2 hours? They're important things.
Yes. And, you know, I would pack books and sketchbooks and my big box of Prismacolors for my sleepovers because, like, this is what we would do. We would share bits of books with each other. We'd watch movies. We eat a lot of snacks. Like, this is what you do when there isn't drugs and alcohol.
Right, exactly.
Because we didn't have access and we weren't interested.
Right.
Was it right? It wasn't wrong. It was just kind of who we were. And, you know, I feel like I was lucky to grow up and become myself without feeling that kind of pressure. We go back a lot to that line, you know, those who refuse to conform are never allowed to. Mm-hmm. It's from, I think it's from Queen Bees and Wannabes, but don't quote me on that. And, you know, since I could never exist within that sphere, I never felt the pressure to be any of it.
Wow. That's a really nice thing.
And I mean, of course, I felt all sorts of things for other ways. You know, I wanted to be, you know, a beautiful, delicate little fairy queen.
Didn't we all? But,
no, it became me.
And we're glad you did.
Well, some people are.
Anyone listening to this?
Aw, that's very sweet. My cats are.
Yeah.
They're happy I exist, and I give them wet food when I come in. That's why they wait in the window.
Yeah.
It's very sweet. They're coming home soon. Super excited, because when they come home, that means kittens can happen.
Kittens.
This is also a book with a great cat.
Oh, yeah. Marie, what are your final thoughts on this book?
It's always fun to revisit this. I really enjoyed how many more of the references I got this time. And something we will absolutely be posting is there is an annotated guide to this book that explains all of the quotations and has links to the original works they are from, which will really enhance your enjoyment of the book.
Yeah, I was glad to find it, just as I was glad to find one of those for Tam Lin the first time I read that. And I thoroughly enjoyed reading this book. I think I'm going to revisit it, as you do, on a regular basis.
I'm really glad to hear that. I always enjoy helping people find books that they will revisit. I don't always read it in one sitting, but I do like to revisit the parties and certain scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really good book for...
Yeah. Oh, we didn't even talk about the Ouija board.
Oh, there's a wonderful creepy scene with the Ouija board.
Yeah, it makes the Betsy Tacy Ouija board seem like child's play, like nothing. T-R-O-U-B-L-E. This is T-R-O-U-B-L-E.
It's not quite as bad as the one in As I Descended,
which I still have to read.
Oh, I did not sleep after, and it's really hard to find a book that'll do that to me. It's essentially that and The First Diviners.
Oh, see, I could sleep after that. So I'm guessing I'll be all right with this.
So the night after I read The Diviners, it was before I had internet in my apartment. It was when I had first moved in, and I barely had lights. I had a lamp, so it was dark. I had read the book. I did not have the internet to fall asleep to, and some precious little tabby cat of mine decided that that was the night to bite my toes with her needle-sharp teeth. If you've read The Diviners, you understand why this was terrifying.
I mean, honestly, it's terrifying even if you haven't.
Yeah, I'm glad she outgrew that habit. I'm saying this like she was... No, she was 4 years old.
Ah.
Tiger's a wonderful cat. But yeah, no, it's always a pleasure to revisit this book. And I'm glad to revisit for many years to come.
Yay.
So Carrie, tell me about your read-alike.
You know, the one I picked is Ballet Shoes. Now, why did I pick Ballet Shoes, you ask?
I do ask.
Three sisters who each have their own pursuits, their own independent and very interesting and fulfilling pursuits. The book talks about their daily lives. They have a very unconventional educational experience, and there's a lot of wonderful day-to-day detail and a lot of really good eating and not very much plot. And what plot there is happens in the last 5 pages.
Well played.
Now, what was your read like?
I captured a castle by
Jamie Smith. I was thinking about that one too. And then I went with Ballet Shoes because of the sisters.
I would not have guessed Ballet Shoes, but it does make perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
I captured a castle because it is also about a wonderfully eccentric family and their day-to-day lives. The movie is on Amazon Prime, and if you love the book, you will love the movie. The only changes made basically are to make the story work on screen, and I loved every second of it.
Yeah, I wish I could say the same about the Ballet Shoes movie, but Emma Watson does a good job. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm. The topaz that they picked is, you know, spot on.
Oh my God, perfect. I felt like the casting was great.
Go watch it and tell me what you think about it.
So, Marie, what are you currently reading?
I just finished Girls Made of Snow and Glass, which is a retelling of Snow White, which is not usually one of my favorite fairy tales, but this particular retelling, which was inspired by Angela Carter, among other writers, is. It is a fairy tale in the tradition of Donna Jo Napoli and other fairy tale retellers from around the era that we like to cover, and is a story about women helping women. And the part that you think it's going to turn into donkey skin, it doesn't. So keep reading. Excellent.
Good. No thanks to donkey skin.
Yes. Also, it's gay.
Nice.
What are you currently reading?
I just finished The 12 Days of Dash and Lily by Rachel Cohn and The Leviathan, and it was a lot of fun. If you enjoyed Dash and Lily's Book of Dares, you will probably enjoy revisiting the characters in this one. I know that when it came out, it got some criticism for being like sadder and darker, but you know, as someone who has lived through like the first holiday season after like a big upheaval or after a big loss or with the specter of loss looming over the holiday season, like I found it very, very true to life in its depiction of, you know, Lily's grief and anxiety and her behavior. And, you know, it's a Dash and Lily book, so things kind of get wrapped up and everything is happy and romantic and lovely. And that is reassuring to read, especially at this time of year. So, recommended.
Also, maybe a little bit spoilers.
Like you're going to read a book that's like covered in like happy trees, like Christmas trees and snow, and has like holly jolly merry font on it, and be like, oh good, this is going to be a book where everyone is sad the whole time.
Yeah, but what if it was? What if it was a Lurleen McDaniel book, but they like put it in a Leviathan cover? If you know who Lurleen McDaniels is, you're old enough to be listening to this podcast.
That's the test right there.
I have never read a book by her.
Me either.
Because, yeah. I dealt with enough like sickness
right
while I was in high school. So yeah, I couldn't do it. Yeah. But kudos to you if you enjoyed it. Write to us and tell us why you enjoyed her books, or if we should cover one, if there's something we're missing out on.
Yeah, that's going to be hard.
Well, you can tell us about it. It doesn't mean
it doesn't mean we're going to do it.
I mean, there's one book that I initially had said hard no to, but we have it picked for the live show.
Yeah.
So you can watch me, that which will happen. I just happened to get surgery when it was supposed to happen, and then I wasn't cleared to fly for a long time.
Yeah, it'll happen.
I think I'm like technically cleared to fly in like a week from now.
Ooh.
Yeah, my doctor is a little bit weird, but he did nice work, so I'm not going to complain. I was thinking back on our New Year's resolutions, and I think mine was moisturized, and goodness knows I've been doing a lot of moisturizing. That's something you do after this surgery.
Okay. On that note, readers and listeners, please, rate, review, and subscribe, as the kids say. Like, subscribe to us all over the place on social media. Subscribe to us in your podcast app of choice.
We'll link a bunch of them.
Yeah. Let us know if you have compliments, if you have concerns, if you have complaints, send them all. What should they not send?
you can send us your NaNoWriMo novels. But we can't promise we're going to read every single one.
If they've got class schedules in them, and if half of the manuscript is just quotes from other work, then good on you. Like, that is definitely how I won NaNoWriMo the first time I won. So thank you for listening to Go Your Own YA. I'm Carrie.
And I'm Marie. Do something good for yourself.
And bad for Satan.
Good night, readers and listeners. Yay. Awesome.